diseases that rely more on fat and glutamine should avoid ketogenic diets. I have long given up trying to change attitudes in the medical profession. Instead, it is the patients who are joining my revolution, individuals who have tried everything else, both conventional and complementary, who still have cancer continuing to rampage through their bodies. They are the ones who are joining me in using these old drugs and other natural cancer-starving therapies. Slowly and surely, as more patients get results and incredible remissions occur, the word is spreading. Egged on by success with other patients, more and more patients are turning to this multi-drug approach. Yet despite seeing results before their eyes, many oncologists continue to ignore the metabolic approach, concerned that prescribing anything different will lead to disciplinary action. Even when you are first diagnosed, there remains a lack of understanding about the need to control the tumor's abnormal cell signaling, its demand for nutrients, the influence of stress, and the urgent need to quell inflammation. After a cancer diagnosis, you are normally sent home with nothing, no pill, no immediate treatment, just a head churning over all sorts of frightening scenarios. Understandably, you can't help but imagine the parasitic lump inside continuing to grow whilst nothing is being done. Why haven't the doctors prescribed anything? Is the problem so enormous that taking anything is worthless? Yet it is at this point, right at diagnosis, that is the prime opportunity to begin to control its growth. The prescription of something as simple as an anti-inflammatory, other cancer-starving drugs, and an immediate visit to a skilled functional medicine practitioner and nutritionist could have an enormous impact on our dire survival statistics. Years from now, when oncology practices finally change, as they must, I feel sure we'll look back with sadness at how many patients died and suffered needlessly. We'll be amazed that the medical profession persisted for so long with cruel and destructive treatments, duped by the hype and false promises of the newer pharmaceutical drugs. Ever since 2003, when my eyes were opened to new exciting possibilities, I have been looking on helpless while disastrous toxic approaches were used on friends and loved ones, knowing that they would almost certainly die as a result. I felt so alone championing old drug cocktails, despairing as the new game-changing targeted treatments inevitably failed. These were the bad old days, the whack-a-mole drug approach, chasing genetic mutations. All I could do was wait patiently for science to back me up. Now the articles are mounting on old metabolic drugs. There is undeniable proof of their efficacy, but there are few randomized clinical trials. And because of this, medics remain dismissive of these drugs. Despite the incredible potential of the cheap, off-patent, low-toxic drug cocktail I describe in this book, you must take a rounded approach. If you take them without addressing your immune system, your diet, your gut health, your lifestyle and stress, you will not achieve the best results. A fully integrated approach, preferably with an oncologist who helps guide you through your choices, both orthodox and complementary, who understands the metabolic nature of the cancer, will be key to the future of the profession. High-dose chemotherapy will eventually disappear, and a raft of new drug cocktails will be used, amongst them much lower doses of chemotherapy. Research on repurposing drugs is still very much in its infancy and viewed as experimental. But they work. Should the patient have to wait until randomized clinical trials are completed in another 10 or 15 years? Should the medics continue to do as they're told and ignore them? Even the British Medical Journal, in October 2015, reported that a retrospective analysis of recently approved immunotherapies revealed that only 5 out of 36 new drugs had any significant effect on overall survival. How they got approval in the first place is very worrying indeed. But with the stakes so high for every new drug launch, is it any wonder that desperate pharmaceutical companies are giving out misleading data for approval? Getting these old, off-patent drugs accepted by doctors and the public as cancer game changers may be hard, purely because they are so very mundane, familiar, and cheap. There's no schmaltzy, shiny new packaging. There's no fanfare or media party unveiling the next generation breakthrough. No exotic destinations for the oncologist annual conference paid for by the pharmaceutical company. No one can afford that kind of marketing budget when the drugs cost less than 5 pence a day. Both doctors and patients have a natural tendency to believe the newer the treatment, the more expensive a drug is, the better it is going to work. But this is not the case. New is not always better. Age and experience often trump youth and beauty. These drugs are indeed game changers, to use the parlance of Big Pharma. Stories from other patients using off-label drugs and other metabolic approaches are pouring in. Slowly and surely, as more patients achieve disease stabilization and incredible remissions occur using old drug cocktails and other cancer-starving therapies, the word is spreading. I know I have already made a big difference to many, but so much more needs to be done. It is early days, and the metabolic approach is still viewed as highly experimental, but the success rate looks very promising. When results are eventually published from the CARE Oncology Clinic, the efficacy of these drugs will be available for all to see. Yet despite seeing results before their eyes, many oncologists continue to ignore it. Worse, it continues to be treated with derision and scorn and much resistance, which makes life tricky not just for the patients who struggle to get hold of the drugs they need, but for the doctors working in this field. It is hard to raise awareness of the importance of these metabolic drugs. So, out with the new and in with the old. Most patients that join my Facebook group are diagnosed with terminal cancer. Many have been told that there was nothing more conventional medicine could offer them. So with nothing to lose and everything to gain, a brave few started using the old drugs in 2015. And despite grim prognoses, many of them are still alive today. One by one, others have followed. My page is now growing fast, purely through word of mouth, and I am witnessing my crew, they're like family to me, achieve some incredible remissions before my very eyes. Patients with incurable brain tumors, given only weeks to live, homeschooling their kids because they want to spend every second with them, passing over all their worldly belongings to relatives and preparing for their imminent funerals. Then, suddenly finding that they have their lives handed back to them, brain tumors, lung metastases are disappearing. Wow, wow, wow. Social media is creating a rumbling militant spirit of rebellion amongst patients, upset about their unnecessary suffering. You don't need to be a vocal revolutionary, changing your oncologist or simply getting yourself enrolled in the CARE Oncology study. Demonstrating the value of these medicines is perhaps all that is required. And although change will happen more slowly, it will happen. Hurrah! For me, it's been a long, hard road back to normality, getting my life plan back on track. At times, the obstacles look too high to climb. When it all seemed too much, I concentrated on placing one foot in front of the other, taking one step at a time. And very slowly, with every step I took, I inched closer and closer to the top. I stand here, looking down at every difficult path I forged to get here. The sun has broken through the clouds. The view is simply breathtaking. Facebook entry, April 2016. Today is a very special day. Many years ago, I was told I would never have children, but thanks to an incredible angel, 10 years ago that gloomy prediction was turned on its head. Fighting traffic jams to pick up our amazing surrogate from her home, we raced from Kent up the A2 to the Chelsea and Westminster Hospital, the anxious parents-to-be leaning out of windows, shouting at slow-moving pedestrians to get out of the way while we put pedal to the metal, breaking speed limits, running red lights, and darting down bus lanes to get to the hospital in time. Jamie was so nearly delivered on the back seat. We made it, and out came the most amazing bundle who continues to delight, surprise, amuse, and fill me with absolute joy. And we got lucky again 3 years later with my wonderful Sam. They are both so adorable. They are both funny, witty, and so super talented. So, to celebrate Jay's birthday, I took him on a special weekend, just me and him on a cultural tour of Paris. What culture did we see? The Louvre? Musée d'Orsay? No. We went on an evening ghost tour. We ran in and out of fountains and rolled down grassy banks by the Eiffel Tower, jumped up and down over big ventilation grills near the Arc de Triomphe, watched street performers, had both our caricatures sketched, went on a great cycling tour of the city and chased bubbles outside the Pompidou Centre. The Lego display in Les Halles was the closest we got to art. Happy 10th birthday to my gorgeous boy. What a wonderful, wonderful weekend. I can't wait to do it all again with Sam. I love you both so much. Mummy. Kiss, 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 kiss. Mummy. The word still sends a rush of joy through me. I may have survived cancer, but you, Tabitha, you gave me back my life. I am forever in your debt.
Part 2. The Metabolic Protocol. Chapter 21. Your Cancer-Starving Cocktail. In this section, I describe what I believe are currently the best, least toxic drugs to starve and snuff out cancer. As with all science, this is a fast-moving area, and I will be sending updates by email through my website. Jane's Piccadilly Circus analogy. 15 years ago, few cancer researchers understood the stem cell at the heart of every cancer, the cell responsible for drug resistance and metastasis. Neither was it understood how metabolically flexible the cancer stem cell was, able to shift from using one fuel supply to another, rerouting itself to maintain its constant supply. Without a comprehensive cocktail blocking off each fuel pipeline, cancer becomes resistant. But don't imagine the resistance as merely a genetic adaptation. Wipe that thought out of your head and insert metabolic adaptation. For most people, this is a mind flip that opens their eyes to where the approach to treatment has been going wrong for decades. Instead of just treating the genes, we should be treating the altered metabolism that goes with it. To make this easier to understand, I now explain this to cancer patients as my Piccadilly Circus analogy. Think of an aerial view of Piccadilly Circus at night. The place is buzzing with lots of pedestrians, buses, taxis, and cars. It is an exciting, vibrant place to be. Even after living in London for nearly 20 years, I still find it thrilling. Bars, restaurants, theatres, cinemas, clubs, galleries, the list is endless. Looking down from above, you will see the pedestrians heading in different directions and the vehicles moving up and down Regent Street, Shaftesbury Avenue, St. James's, and Piccadilly. This is similar in some respects to the behaviour of a cancer cell. It is accepted that cancer cells possess distinct bioelectrical properties,
because it utilizes different ion channel transport.